Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of our new podcast. The story of our podcast begins, as many stories do, with some hate comments on the internet. What type of hate comments have we been getting?
I saw so many different simp or beta in my life, but you bro are the king.
You can tell this aging creator is forcing herself to laugh. Matt Rife is still well-loved and famous.
Stop simping! What the fuck is wrong with grown-ass men? Stop fucking simping!
I'm glad you gave it emotion. I really felt that one.
I had to.
No, I love that. Damn, you two are some pretentious nobodies.
You are soft, weak, and emotionally lacking logic and strength. You're doing a disservice to your children. They don't need two mothers.
That took the air out of my lungs.
But one comment rose above the rest. Mr. Pick Me and the Man-Hater pushing their double standard garbage.
And with that comment, a podcast was born. Well, welcome everybody to Mr. Pick Me and the Man-Hater. We're so happy to have you.
Me too.
Obviously, I am the Man-Hater and this is Mr. Pick Me.
Hi.
What are we talking about today? What are we talking about?
We talk about some of the worst people on the internet.
There's a lot of bad advice on the internet, and we are trying to comment on why said advice is bad.
You want bad advice, man? I'll give it out gladly. I got some good advice for you. No, you don't. Like, no, you don't. I got some good advice for you. No, you don't. Like, no, you don't. Shit.
Would you like me to read the post to you?
Oh, absolutely. Okay.
All right, so the question is, am I the asshole for kicking my wife out after she punched my mom in the face?
Ooh, what a start. What?
Now, keep in mind, to anyone listening, I've read this whole thing. Reagan has not. So this is, I pitched it. She heard the basic premise of it, but this is all going to be brand new for her. So
I'm excited.
So what? First opinion. On just the question, am I the asshole for kicking my wife out after she punched my mom in the face?
My first thought is, what on earth happened that one would punch their mother-in-law, Decker? It's one thing to like yell at her.
Yeah.
It's one thing to like get into an altercation, fight, whatever. But the idea of actually decking.
Just actually punching.
Yeah, that makes me a little... Little concerned as to what was happening before.
If your wife punched your mom in the face.
I don't know about that. That's a
no
rough
context,
one.
No context.
I love my mom. She's like 5'2". She's like 90 pounds. Like, what did she do? How could this happen?
And here's the thing. I think it's a good reaction for it to be unfathomable.
Yes. Right?
If you're like, I've thought about this before. That's probably... a problem in itself.
I've thought about that. Think about it often.
It's been something I've worried about. My situation went from bad to worse in a matter of a week, and I don't know where else to turn. I need to know if I was wrong.
To Reddit, of course.
Yes, of course. This is where you go. Not to a therapist, not to somebody that you might trust in your life.
Right. Just strangers on the internet.
Possibly a validation thing because life is fucking dumb right now. It's absolutely a validation thing. There's
dead
no
on.
Possibility.
Ding, 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 ding.
There's no other reason to go on to anywhere, social media with a question like this other than validation. Okay. My wife and I have been together for 8 years and she just gave birth to our first and last, in parentheses, baby 2 months ago.
Oh, I'm on the wife's side immediately. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I don't know if I gave the sass in the end last. There could be another reason for it, but it sounds like, like he's like, this is never again. That's what
never
I'm
never
again.
That was hard on me.
Yeah. Ugh. She doesn't know what this pregnancy did to me.
I sat in the hard chair at the hospital that all the men talk about. Oh, my God. That's a doozy right there. Okay.
I mean, that's another discussion. We should have an episode about that because there's so much to talk about.
I have no greater rage than that. I have gone off on many people over that one. Yeah. So let's keep going. So okay. We have a 2-month postpartum mother.
Yes.
Okay.
Together 8 years. She's up until my wife got pregnant. My mom loved her.
Oh, no.
This is. Oh, yeah, God. It's already answering some of the questions about is this a long true thing? Okay. Up until my wife got pregnant, my mom loved her. I'm not sure WTF is wrong with my mom or why the switch happened, but after my wife got pregnant, my mom started getting very clingy to me and started avoiding my wife at all costs. Told everyone she wasn't excited about the pregnancy, etc. I threatened to go no contact with her when my wife was about 7 months along, and after that she snapped out of it for the most part and stopped being so ignorant. The comments 100% stopped, at least, though she was still clinging to me.
Uh-oh, I'm feeling a aged pick me turning into mother, into man baby. I'm feeling it.
If this was my mom, I'm thinking about my situation. Because I was raised by a single mom. Mm-hmm. I love my mom very much. So we have a very good relationship. If my wife punched her for some reason, my mom would be mad at me for not leaving with my wife, right? Like for not being on her side. Like
she is
the side. At this point, my mom is very much like, no, you are team wife. That is where you are. And obviously there's more details to come, but in that situation. But this sounds like a little jealousy.
I've told, the toxic boy mom who was a pick me, like that ages and they have that bad relationship. And as soon as they feel they may be losing the control of the son, which particularly if you have a kid, you are down on the priority list, as you should be, because that he now has a wife and a baby he needs to take care of. And so if she was mad about that, then I would assume she wants to be top dog, top priority, the most important woman. And additionally, the fact that he said, hey, knock it off, and she did, shows you how easy it would have been for her not to do that. You know what I mean?
So like, this is, I think we're both at this point very firmly team wife.
Okay.
On this, I think.
This is dangerous. I'm so scared now.
And I don't think it's going to change. I'm not trying to make it sound like
gotcha. You know, she's a murderer. Like,
feel bad about this. All right. Okay. All right. Now, a week ago, my mom, my sister's husband, and my sister's daughter, 12, came over for dinner. I don't know why the sister's daughter's age matter, but okay.
They always put the age every time. I don't know. It's a Reddit thing.
I prepared the meal. Before my wife could eat anything, our daughter got fussy, so my wife excused her to go feed the baby and get her down to sleep.
Classic.
I thought I was I prepared enough, but apparently not, because my niece was still starving. She's 5'5 and 190 pounds. I haven't seen her in a year, and she was not that size then, so I didn't exactly portion in an extra 3 helpings for a child, so it's on me.
Oh, I don't like anything he just said. Is that some fat phobia child shaming? It's the little things with these posts.
It's like the way it's being phrased too.
Yeah.
Because like, right now there's also this whole like, hold on, let me also put blame on the child.
A growing child.
Yeah, in a room full of adults, let me make sure you all know that she was the one that ate my wife's food.
Now we know that why the 12 was in there. He's like, this child?
She's basically an adult at that point.
You have to love the nice guy phrasing where he's like, I mean, it's on me, but here's 5 reasons it's not.
Yeah, there's okay.
Keep going, because that one's going to make me mad, because body image with young girls. It's a girl, right?
100%. You said it's a girl? Yep. I apologized and told her that I hadn't made any more and offered her crackers as I was putting my wife's portion in the fridge. After that, I just went outside with my sister's husband to smoke a cigarette and shoot the breeze. Didn't think anything of it, but then I hear yelling from inside. When I walk in, my wife and my mom were screaming at each other. Apparently, my mom, who saw me put my wife's food away, gave my niece my wife's portion of food.
Ooh. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's this thing as a parent. I didn't carry, but I was like a the primary caregiver at home. What? But I was a primary. So
right.
Once she was born, I'd spent the most time with her. But there's this thing as a parent where you miss most of the dinners. If you mm-hmm. are at the dinners, you're taking care of the baby, trying to make sure they don't fuss and disrupt everybody else. You rarely eat hot food. Like, I can't even explain to you. I mean, maybe you experienced it too, but like how mm-hmm. little times by the time I ate my food, it was still hot. So mm-hmm. it's like probably the one time she's getting a meal, she wants to join everybody. She has to leave, like, even though she doesn't want to. Also, don't plan meals when the nap is. Right. Hey, right. just a thought, guy.
Right.
And when you're thinking of the things you didn't plan correctly.
Or like, yeah, you can wait too in that situation. It sounds like this is a special function.
Yeah.
You can but it's going to get cold. Then put it in the microwave, put it in the oven, put
it
in something. This was a choice already.
Yes.
To be
there's
like,
so many choices.
We're not, well, we, what do you expect us to wait while you're
right.
eating and, the yeah. child and putting over?
You expect us not to eat and include you?
And there are circumstances, like, you know, there have been phases with our kids where it had to be either me or my wife that put them to bed. And so I'm because it could be the one suggestion, obviously, like when we could, we'd switch, you know, one would feed, one would put the kid to bed.
Right.
One would do as much as they can. Sometimes that's not possible. So that could be the situation here where they,
but
there's still no reason you could not have waited.
Yeah. You could have waited. You could have made sure she got a free, like there's ways to make sure that person feels supported and a priority. And there is a weird thing with food. There's a weird Absolutely. Thing as a mom about eating. I mean, dang, the baby is draining the life out of you. Like, you need food. Okay, let's keep going. That's a whole nother rant.
Okay. As I was walking inside, I heard my mom say, look, oh my God. Sorry. I'm reading.
Oh, okay. God.
I heard my mom say, looks like you can afford to skip a meal, and slapped my wife's stomach.
Can I deck this mom?
2 months postpartum here. Not that this is okay 2 years postpartum either. But specifically,
I'm a mom hater right now.
Yeah.
As in this mom.
Yeah. Okay. Right as soon as I get ready to step in, literally fast walking toward them and yelling, enough. My wife winds back and punches my mother square in the face and drops her. The whole house went silent outside of my mom crying and holding her face. I tell everyone, get the fuck out. Immediately, everyone leaves and my wife just turns toward the counter and leans with her hands on the counter and face down, eyes closed. I look at my wife and say, you too, leave now. She says, really? She's crying at this point. I say, eclipsed, yup. She packs up her and the baby and leaves.
Oh, so she'll take the baby then. He really needs the home to himself right now after that incident.
Yeah, oh my God. I don't even. That's the whole other thing. She's waking up. This baby just put to sleep to leave the house.
Her
alone.
Own home. Mm-hmm. Because his mother, who hasn't supported her pregnancy at all, just slapped her belly and said, you could skip a few meals or lose a few pounds or whatever.
And also, like, imagine this is like a special meal. It sounds like,
yeah, like a,
also
like
imagine if you are, yeah, in that situation, like, and I've been in that situation. Obviously I'm not the primary caregiver at home for a lot of these things, but like there are many times where when I am home and I want to switch and I'll smell the food people are eating and I'll say, no, go ahead, eat without me.
Yeah.
And just the feeling of like the excitement of knowing there's going to be a meal after I'm done with this. What could sometimes be a very long, drawn out process, and then for not an apology, not like, oh my God, I'm so sorry,
right?
But to pat her belly
and slap her belly, like, you
slap the belly. That was a very clear choice of words.
I get mad if people eat my leftovers on a normal day. I can go completely unhinged and feral if I'm like. I had, when I was young, someone ate I think it was an Airhead that I wanted, and I investigated the entire house. There was there was interrogations as to who ate this Airhead. Now, put that with real food and put that with, I am 2 months postpartum. I didn't get to eat the meal with my family. This woman who did not support me the entire pregnancy said they didn't want me to have my child.
And let's not pretend like this guy does not sound like someone who's been a very equal supportive partner during this, the months after the pregnancy as well. She's probably also exhausted at this point mm-hmm. too, from being the one that's constantly having to get up with the baby, having to do all the work. Cause it does, like I said, does not sound like he's doing all the extras here.
That's the thing, is like, he got to have his meal with everybody else. He got to go outside and smoke and shoot the breeze. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, she's upstairs with the baby, missing out on that, on all that. All she probably wanted was like, at least I'll have some good food. She yeah. comes down, this the child is eating the food. House yeah, too. It smells it's- in the house. The kid's eating it. She finds out it is the mom who's giving it to her. And then yeah. that woman has the nerve to slap her belly and say,
yeah.
you could lose weight anyways.
Because also it feels like a very obvious choice to mess with her. To,
oh, 100%.
Before the slap. That was a very, she's like, oh, this will make her mad. I love, this is my off. Chance
yeah.
to, yeah, yeah
I
yeah.
shall control this situation.
There's more. Would you like to continue?
I can't. Go on.
I text her that night and say, I just need space. I need to decompress and come to terms with what just happened. She doesn't respond. The next 5 days, I'm texting and calling and I get nothing. She shows up here today, so 8 days later, and hands me divorce paperwork and my baby and says, here, you have a bit to hang out with her while I pack. Where I'm breastfeeding, we can work out a visitation schedule that is either at your place or my mother's until she will take a bottle. I told her that's not what I want. I don't want to separate. I just need her time to process her punching my mother in the face. She said, you needing time to process gave me time to process.
Yes, queen.
Oh, I love her. Oh, I love this. Yeah. You needing time to process gave me time to process the fact that I refused to be in this situation any longer. I defended myself. I initially felt bad and remorseful, but you making me leave when I needed you made me seem more clear. I'm done. I'm sorry for what I did, but there's no fixing this. She refused to speak to me all the rest of the time that she was there. My house feels so empty and I don't know what to do. Huh. Am I the asshole for making her leave after she punched my mom? I just needed some fucking space.
Let me tell you something. First of all, he is the asshole. We knew that. We knew yes. that from the yes. beginning.
I think there was even, yeah.
Well-established man-hater mm-hmm. confirmed mm-hmm. you are the asshole. But additionally, this is not the first time I've heard of husbands getting upset at their wife and saying, I need space, and kicking out their wife and child, or how many, ever right. many kids. Like, I've on my other page, my mom page, that exact occurrence happens all the time where the guy literally is like, I yeah. need space. And instead of him leaving, he's like, take all your stuff, take a, because packing for a 2 month old is like packing for a 6 week long right. journey. Like, you're packing their clothes, their diapers, their wipes, their toys, like all of that.
When he kicked her out, I even was assuming it was the mom's house and that she was going back to their house. But the fact that she had to go back there, so he kicked her out of their own yep. home.
Yep.
And that didn't, I'd read this beforehand. That did not click in my
Wait
head
a second.
Until he kicked her out of their own home.
Yeah. And then was gone from his newborn baby for 8 days and was like, okay. What? If you like,
yeah.
I mean, obviously barring I had done something atrocious, but like I could not be away right. from a newborn no. for that long and be okay. Mm-hmm. Not knowing where they were.
No, I'd be terrible. Yeah. I'd be throwing up. Happened there.
I'd be like,
yeah, no. Yeah. yeah. And yeah. it's not even like a mad thing. I'd be
right, right.
terrified that, oh my God, I yes. kicked her out. What if where did she go? What if she got in a car crash? What if there's something
yes,
wrong?
Exactly. Like, and you have to, if she's breastfeeding and they're 2 months postpartum, mm-hmm. her hormones would be still raging. That's right. still the zone of what they call the baby blues, which is actually mm-hmm. like postpartum depression. It's like, it's right. not baby blues. Like, it's a very cute right. name for like spiraling mm-hmm. out and hating
oh,
life.
Oh, look, she's got the baby
your
blues.
Baby blues. Oh, are you God. Depressed? Yeah, I hated that. I was like, you need a new name for that.
Are you telling me that they're going to minimize the experiences of women?
Are they going to trivialize what a woman goes through? Huh. But that male loneliness is rough, right?
Yeah, it's an epidemic.
But they just got the baby blues. No, but like, there's no, she's emotional. Like, breastfeeding, like, just is brutal on women. I didn't have to do it, but it's brutal. So she's going through all this, and he has enough to kick her out for that long and he hasn't seen her? And then he's like, my house is quiet. No shit. No shit. You kicked out your wife and your 2-month-old child without knowing. It doesn't sound like he knew where they were. So you just didn't know where they were? Like, if they were safe?
Like, even if I was a horrible person that did this thing, to the point, I would be calling the police. I'd be calling all of her friends. I'd be frantic to know that they were okay. Because but that's assuming that you actually care about the person.
It's assuming you like them. You have parental instincts.
He's like, this is great. I get to sleep in.
Yeah, I know. I guarantee. Because as you said, I just needed space. I'm like, huh, you don't think your fucking wife needed space, bro?
Yeah.
You don't think your fucking wife who was with your kid didn't get to eat and then got slapped on her belly and called fat, essentially?
I'm trying to process kicking your wife and child out
I'm
of
telling
your house.
You, it's not even close to the first time I've heard of that. Or like, I need space. I need time to myself. I've been around the baby too much. Can you guys go somewhere? Yeah. I've heard of it many times. A lot of times the guy will just leave and go golf or whatever. Right. Whatever you men do. Your thing, sports or whatever. No. But really, I've heard it multiple times. And I'm just like, what did you need space from? I mean, I guess you saw your wife get hit, and then you saw your wife hit your mom. But it's like, again, leave. You leave. You want space, you leave. It's like the lack of concern for anybody but himself. He doesn't say – he doesn't even say he cared about his mom. He doesn't even mention that.
No.
He just says, I really need space to process this thing I was not involved in.
He didn't kick out the mom.
I think he did. He said everybody was gone.
I guess so, but I guess maybe – okay.
I think everybody was gone, and was still there because it's her house.
Yeah. And processing because she just got...
She just had to punch someone.
And she's probably feeling bad at this point already.
I'm sure
she horrible,
did.
Because she's like, I lost my... You know, I'm full of emotion.
She's hormonal.
I'm tired. I'm hungry.
I'm starving.
I'm starving after this.
I will tell you, as someone... I have mood disorder. Like, I have all the mood shit. Hormonal is the worst. It is way worse than any of that. So like I can only imagine what she felt like. If I was in like full like having hormonal issues and I got slapped on my stomach and called overweight essentially about my body, which had just given birth to this beautiful child who is your grandchild. If you're like, let me just put myself in that perspective. Like, might deck.
And by someone who has very clearly been...
against you.
By his own admission.
Yes.
Being very mean to you ever
openly.
Since you... Yeah.
Yeah. Saying they don't want you to have the baby.
Mm-mm.
And this is your mother-in-law? Mm-mm. No. But also, it shows you how little the husband was doing. Because, like, we have strong boundaries at my house. Like, I've never talked shit on my wife ever to you. Like, I've never... No. And I don't... You're like, no. I've never talked shit on her to, like, I don't to anyone. Mm-hmm. And I would, well, she doesn't give me any reason to, but if she did.
But there are things that, you know, every couple, every
like
healthy
issues,
couple has
stuff
that you have issues with that you butt it. But yeah, you don't, that's not,
you don't
there,
allow.
There's a way to, yeah, there's also a way to talk about it that is not just trashing the other person.
And that's the other thing is like with my wife's anxious, I made sure when, with my family, who's a lot, you know. In a good way, but like you've met me, you can imagine. Mm-hmm. Like I'd be like, this is her boundaries and she needs to recharge because my family is like really loud and we tell like obnoxious loud stories and stuff, which is a lot for an introvert. So it's like I had to be clear about like how, like what her boundaries are in space and like if she needs to take a second. Like it is your job as a partner to make sure that your partner feel safe around your family, you know, as much as you can. Everybody's family. You can't control your family. Everybody has crazy family stuff. But if you're not an ally with your partner in those moments, what are you doing?
Like You have to be.
Especially if you have a child, which again is probably why the mom was pissed. Because she knew that. As soon as you have a child, well, your allegiance should shift. Clearly it didn't because he kicked them out of their home.
Like, have you ever been in a situation where your wife does something you disagree with, but you know in that moment, you just think, what? This is my side now. You just kind of have to switch to it because that's part of being a supportive partner. You're like, we can discuss this on our own.
It happens all the time with parenting. Yeah, like they make a choice, you know, like you make you, it's like you parent, you choose a hard line.
Right.
So, and probably vice versa, where she's like, I wish you hadn't had done that.
Yeah.
Because now we have to hold this hard line. But like, or with our daughter, when we're out and we're like, okay, we're leaving now, or we have to do this. And you're like, I will ride or die you here. Yep. Then I will talk to you later. Yep. Be like, did we need to do that?
Yeah.
She probably, if we're being honest, it's probably more the reverse. It's probably more her with me. Like, be like, Reagan, what was that? Why did you say that? I don't know. I was in the heat of the moment.
It happened. Yeah.
I like make promises like, come to our house. Like, she's like, ow.
Oh, God.
Why did you do this?
That's exactly because I am very much the introvert of our house. And my wife is somewhat of an ambivert, but she still likes people and she invites people. And I'm like, oh, we're doing this.
Do we have to?
All right. I'll do it. You're right. I will do it.
This is fine.
I am supporting this moment in time, and I'm going to be sad about it.
I love people here in my space. I love that where I recharge.
This is wonderful.
Yeah, I had to learn all of that when we got together. I didn't understand any I did not understand any of that until she was like, I was like, you want to be by yourself? Like, what? Like, let's go out.
Yeah, for us, it's the whole, like, she likes going and doing things.
Yeah.
Like, here's a perfect example. For Mother's Day, I know that I should be planning things where we go and to events. And we're doing with some sort of activity plan. For Father's Day, my ideal Cave. Father's Day would be, can I take, like, a three-hour nap in the afternoon? Oh, it'd be great. I can just sit in a corner playing video games or reading a book 100%. And just not do anything. And it's very, and that's always been the, an interesting area of like, not conflict, but like, of tension, I guess.
Yeah.
Where it's like, and it's cause we have the same birthday, which
the exact same day.
We have the same, it's different years, but same day. And so, that's a whole nother story.
That's a mess.
But that became a mess because we have such different ways of celebrating our days.
Sure.
And so now we've been together for 15 birthdays now and we still haven't figured it out where we're still kind of like, we've tried it out where, okay, you get Saturday and I get Sunday or we get, and now, so we just kind of figure out something to do together. Mid-ground. But now our birthday, it's Mother and Father's Day. Those are our days now because it's almost become our middle ground. It means neither of us get anything. For it.
Yes. Facts. Yeah. We do. We split Mother's Day for that exact reason. Like, so she does Mother's Day. I do Father's Day so that we can focus because they don't align.
You get your day.
Yeah. They do not align. I'm like, let's do an escape room. She's like, please. Yeah. I don't, please.
Right.
I told her my birthday's, well, now it won't be tomorrow, but for when you listen to this, it won't be tomorrow. But as recording this, it is tomorrow. And I'm like, we just did an escape room. She's like, what do you want to do? I'm like, escape room. She's like, okay, let's do it again.
The weird thing, I love escape rooms, though.
Oh,
but
I'm obsessed.
I absolutely love because it's like a task.
Yes.
It's like that's my, I'm like, the I puzzle. Can get very, I can vary into figuring things out. Yeah. Whereas my wife, being the more extroverted one, hates stuff like that. She just wants to go to a show or to a theater something like she wants to experience. She likes experiences.
If she went with me, she would love it because I'm sure it's a theater production. I'm like, where's the clues? Really, it's outlandish.
Okay, when we visit, we're doing an escape room, and me and your wife will be very upset about that we're leaving, going anywhere. I'll be upset that we're going on a trip in general.
I'll still be mourning not being in my house.
Yeah, and then we'll have a good time with it. Okay.
Oh God, but all of this, all of what we're saying, like, is to say, like, we know our partners, we know ourselves, we care about what our partner wants and needs, and supporting our partner, and we don't prioritize ourselves. Like in those moments, like because you can trust your partner to also look out for you, you can look out for them. And in this case, it sounds like he's only looking out for himself. And then she's forced to literally physically defend herself, like, from this person. And it's so, like, it's not even irony, but the idea that, like, after all that, he's like, I didn't want us to split up. And the house is really quiet. It's like, yeah, because you kicked out the, like, your partner and your baby. There probably wasn't a baby. Like, and he's like, well, I didn't want this. It's like, yeah, you don't get to kick out your spouse for 8 days with your child and just think, oh, this will be fine. This is what I needed.
And the thing is, that's not the reason they're getting divorced. That's the right. Trigger that caused, you know what I mean? And that's the other
camel,
aspect of this.
The camel, the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah.
That's the camel.
Is this enough? Now, is this enough to be the one thing that makes, yes. That is absolutely enough for it to be. It could be they're living in bliss and this is, but it very clearly already is that, one, he's been there, this tension's been there, and he's clearly said nothing to his mom about it, right? He's just going to let this tension rise.
Or the least he could say.
Yeah, at the very, two, and then he's very clearly kind of not ever putting her in front of what's going on. And like, God, the putting the portion away in the fridge is also just, I don't understand the situation. I'm trying to think. There's got to be something else that, like, maybe he's just a bad person. He's just a bad person, and that's what it is. And I'm trying to figure out, not have double standard garbage here for our listeners. But no, he's just a bad person.
Well, the thing is, too, like, I always pay attention to, like, language, especially in these posts, because at this point, I break them down all the time, like on my podcast or on TikTok, but. Language is so important in these things. Like, just the fact that he made it clear, like, it was a girl who is this, you know, who's 12 and she's eating way too much. And, you know, I didn't know she'd be eating enough for a grown man or whatever, like, you know, basically. And then his mom is also talking about body image. Like, you can feel that there's probably some misogyny going on, that there's probably some weird standards. And, like, of all times to be judgmental of a woman's body.
Yeah.
I don't think ever. Don't. Yeah. But also, she just gave birth to your child. If someone did that to my wife 2 months after she had my, I would be punching. Would be punching. Like touching her. First of all, the belly, like, especially after you, like, give birth, like, it's so sensitive. Everything's sensitive. Like, we don't know what – it could have been a C-section for all we know. Like, you know, that's a – you don't touch a woman area, period.
Isn't it like even 2 months after your the ab muscles aren't even like fully connected again at that point? It's like
sometimes
still,
they don't connect ever
don't,
again. Yeah. Yeah, for bad cases. Like, so that's a very sensitive area. And then to like – and like, you know, women a lot of times postpartum have horrific body issues and, you know, they don't feel like themselves and they don't recognize their body. Like, there's so much that goes on for a woman when she has a baby that, like, is not talked about enough, which we don't need to get into fully here. But the point being that, like, that's disgraceful. It's disgraceful. And to put hands on her at all, to slap her anywhere, let alone where she just had a baby. I don't think so. I don't think so.
I'm getting the vibe that it's something that he's expressed worry about to his mom.
Ooh, God, I hope
that,
not.
Because you hear about, there's one of my most viral videos I've ever had was that one about that guy saying, if my wife doesn't like maintain her body after she has a baby, I'm out. Right. And there's a lot of guys that have that mentality and they don't understand after obviously the biological, physiological aspect of having a baby and what that can do. It can change your metabolism. It can change everything. Where even if you're maintaining the exact same life as before, your body may very well be different, right? And also you're getting older. There's just so many factors that go into it above and beyond that. But also, a lot of times in these situations, almost always when the guys that are the loudest about their wife or partner having given up, they're in situations where they don't see that they have any cause of that, right? Where that they don't play a role in the fact that their partner has zero time for any self-care,
right?
Because they don't understand that the reason their partner doesn't have time to exercise anymore is because they're doing now twice as much work with no help from you while your lifestyle hasn't changed at all.
And that's if you want to. If you, like, that's like assuming.
Right. Absolutely.
You
absolutely.
Know, and a lot of times it's like 2 months. That's not that long, dude.
I want to be very clear. I'm not talking about 2 months after.
Yeah, right.
I'm talking, this is like when guys will complain like years and years into the relationship. Sure. 2 months after, you're still, your body's not even healed at that point. Yeah. You're still bleeding at that point.
Yeah, you're like breastfeeding. Like get out.
Yeah,
get,
there's
get
so much that goes in. Yeah, yeah. There's at that point that you're, the baby just came out, right? There's no,
To me, it's like if your partner had your baby, like you should never, ever, ever say a thing about their body, period. Because it's like, do you get what happened? Mm-hmm. Do you get that your wife carried your child in her body, lost her body to said child, like was not in control of her body, had to suffer those, because it's a painful process before you have the baby, had the baby, like to bring you a child, to give you life, literally magical thing that women are capable of doing. And you want to say, but I don't like how your body looks now.
Right.
I don't, you know, when you did that miracle of life, but I don't like, it's like, and it's like, it's almost never guys who are also in great shape. Like it's like never guys who also, but like to your point, I like, even if they did want to, because some people do want to, like women do actually want to get their bodies back for their own mental health or whatever. And can't, to your point, because these guys are not giving them space. Like, no, I don't have energy.
I don't understand why you can't. I was able to. Yeah. I'm still able to go to the gym 15 hours a week when you're at home.
And then, they take those hours. They're the ones that go to the gym. They make sure they get to go to the gym.
Why can't you do this?
Yeah, with the zero time I give you. Yeah, it's like you don't facilitate anything. You don't even give her enough to make her have the energy to even think about herself as a person. Like when moms are in mom mode and they don't have anything outside of that because they just don't have the space or energy, like you don't even give them a breath to even be like, what would be good for me? Like they don't even have that. You're just saying your body's not good enough. It's not like they're saying like you should work out for your mental health, you know, or you should work out because it's good for you, which is true. Like serotonin, whatever, like it's good to work out. No, they're saying your body's not good enough.
Yeah, I've noticed you feel like you're sad, you're down, you're depressed. Yeah. You know, is there anything I can do to help? Like maybe do you want some time alone to blah, 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 blah? No, that's not, not happening. It's
get in the gym. On imaginary time. I mean, I honestly think men that are like that, not all men, okay? Not you.
No, it's all of us.
Or I'll show up at your house. Am I the asshole for punching my podcast co-hosts? I know your wife now, so she can report to me. So
that's true. She can tell you. She can. You can check in. You should do that. Could be a section to make sure that I'm not telling lies.
Weekly check-in. Oh, shit. It's really sad. And it showcases, like, again, how little they care about the woman. Because it's not – they're not prioritizing her. They're not even thinking about her for her. Like, they don't care that she's not working out for her. They literally only care for them and their physical wants and desires and the way that she looks for them. And that's so pathetic. Like, I was the partner, like – I can't, it makes me short circuit like thinking about saying something like that to my wife. It's like, she just gave birth to your child. Like she's a magic. She's literally like her body, like everything
it's
she
unbelievable.
Did, you're literally like a god, like, you know, a goddess. Like I was just like, everything you do is magic. Everything. How can I help you? What can I do? To the thought of being like, not only you being like that, but your mother. Letting your mother talk to your wife. Like, oh, and that's not the first time. I agree with you. Like there's no way she went from not saying anything to slapping her stomach. I did a whole thing talking about the pixie. What am I saying?
The pixie syndrome. No.
That's me, but I'm also the depressed gremlin nightmare girl. Also, there's two sides. You get the manic pixie, you get the depressed gremlin. I'm going to do a video on that because it always makes me laugh. I'm like, do you know what that is? Manic is – do you know where that comes from?
Right.
She's not good as someone who has done that. So with pick me women have deep, deep, deep internalized misogyny, right? And they are very much about their external. They're very much about validation. Even if they no longer try to fit that, they still think about it. So you have a parent, the mom probably has that. And if she has that, then the son probably has that, along with, I don't know what his dad is like, but clearly he has some belief systems going on that are misogynistic in nature. So it's like you have two people who are very much internalized, have that internalized misogyny. It's like, this poor woman did not stand a chance. They both feel like incredibly, like the comments about the 12-year-old make it very clear to me what this dude is like. And that's
he's
edited.
Very aware of, that's something that to make him sound good, yeah.
Yes, that's something he like thought about, put on there. She's 150 pound, like.
I wonder if that's a conversation you need to like before deciding to start a family or having children, because families are more than just children. Obviously.
Sure.
But before deciding to have children with somebody, like, can you handle if my body changes? Like, is that something that is going to affect you? And like, I you got to wonder if they'll be honest about it. But like, if it's not something you can handle, then you know that you probably shouldn't be a father.
Yeah. Well, it's rough. It's rough too, because if dads have any, even if they're not like horribly misogynistic, but they just have like body image ideas.
Right.
Which there are, I mean, it is based in misogyny, but they could treat women well, but still think that way. That does seep down to children. Like, so you, and any gender. So any across the board, like their beliefs will get to the children. So like,
absolutely.
Those are things you need to know. And I think I always talk about the fact that like, why nice guys bother me so much in quotations is because they aren't straightforward. Like an a-hole, like if the guy's an asshole, like he will maybe tell you. Like I just watched Love is Blind, and one of the guys straight up was like, health matters to me. Your body image matters to me. I care what you look like. It was this same thing. After the baby, you're going to get in the gym. I'll help you, but you're going to get in the gym. Mm-hmm. And I was horrified, obviously.
Yeah.
But I remember sitting there and being like, sadly, like, well, he's straightforward. You know what he thinks. When so many men are not. Like, you'll be like, they'll be like, I love you. I support you. Right. Your body's beautiful. And then you give birth. You know, you are a miracle and give birth. And they're like, now that I think about it,
Well, that's why it's the whole thing where they're equally as bad, but one's more nefarious. Right.
Yeah.
It's one thing like where they're both horrible people for
horrifying.
God. No, there's no excuse. That's all that matters to me.
Yeah.
But you're right. But misleading someone on to believe that you're not that person is worse, right? It is so much more evil in so many ways. It's the whole it's similar to like the idea of a friend zone, right?
Yeah,
where you are misleading this person. And we've talked about this before, but like you're
of
misleading
course.
Someone to think, you know, that you're, it's so much worse than a guy that's just like, well, I don't want to be your, I'm only interested in you if you in the, for this. So I'm not going to go down that road with you because I don't want you to. It's like, well, okay. Well, I'm happy I didn't waste my time then.
Yeah. It's like you think of it like if somebody holding like a weapon is like clearly a problem and they're like, yeah, I'm kind of a threat. And you're like, okay, well, I know that about you. So I'm going to treat you that way that I know you could harm me versus somebody who's like, I'm safe. I'll take care of you. You don't have to worry about me. And then, you know, you go like down a dark alley with them because they've pretended to be safe, and you wouldn't go that way with the other guy because he's been honest that he's, you know, trash and dangerous. And then you end up like, he's like, oh, by the way, I was evil this whole time. You're like, yeah, that sucks way worse. I would never have gone down this dark alley with you versus the guy who was open and I just kept my distance from. They're just, they use niceness as a tool. They use it as a veil and as a mask so that they can get what they want and they can get you to invest in them. They want you to be invested because like this guy saying this to his wife, it's like, I'm sure she wasn't clear he would treat her this way, obviously, because she divorced him.
No.
And she probably wouldn't have gone this route with him had she known, but instead he wasn't straightforward about the way that he felt. And then she wound up decking his mom on some holiday.
Yeah, just read it. If I had just read the title of it, I'd be like, from the beginning, it's like, well, let's see where this goes. You know, obviously, if my wife just randomly came up and punched my mother in the face, I'd be like, that is uncalled for.
Right.
I would say, I'm leaving.
Yes.
You know,
I have to go.
I'm not kicking, even in the worst case scenario where I'm mad.
Yeah.
I'm leaving. And that's not a high bar. That's not me saying, look at how great I am. That's being a human being. That's like such a, that still blows my mind. I read this entire thing until I read it out loud. It did not click in my head that it was their house.
Yeah.
That he kicked his wife with their newborn baby out of it.
It's crazy because not just that with him and her, but like that also means for 8 days he was just mm-hmm. not being a parent either. So those yep. he was saying, not only screw you, but also I'm not taking care of my child.
Yeah.
I've been mad at my wife before. I would never be like, okay, because I'm mad at you, I'm not a parent. Like, I just mm-hmm. am not going to help you with our child.
Well, and it goes back to why, like, when he kicked her out, he probably didn't mean you and the baby get out of here, but she didn't trust to leave the baby there because...
But no, because they were breastfeeding. They couldn't use a bottle. Right, she talks about the fact that they couldn't use a bottle.
I keep on trying to throw something
as... Don't go down that road.
What am I doing?
You're the pick me. You're supposed to be on my side.
I am. Sorry. No, there's nothing good about... there is nothing good about it.
Yeah, true fact. And he put those details in there. Again, you always have to remember, this is his best version.
Right.
This is where he looks the best. And he's putting the details in about the bottle. So it's like...
That is the wildest thing about these stories is when you are when the author is the one and he looks... And there's so clearly you look terrible in this. Yeah. Like, what is it? What did he leave out? Like, there's got to be way more to this.
Oh, 100%. They always leave out the, like, if this is the good stuff, what's the bad stuff? Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh,
what else was,
I seriously put my bets that this is a pick me to toxic boy mom to now having a man baby. I would put money mm-hmm. on it. I would put money mm-hmm. that she didn't like, that she wasn't the top priority. And we don't hear about the dad either, which further mm-hmm. puts me in that category. He doesn't mention his dad. So it's like, mm-hmm. if there's not a dad in the picture, that can make it extra bad because then the son can be even more so like the emotional partner for the mom, which is never good. But yeah, that's what I'm putting money on. And it sucks to be the woman there. I didn't have a baby with one, thank God. But I've dated guys that were like that, where the mom was so heavily involved. It gets much worse when you marry them, and it gets even worse if you have kids, because then they're very threatened. So that all tracks. But like, good God, I'm so glad she's like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
Bye. See ya.
Yeah, I had no idea that whole, because my and you could talk to my wife about this. You have her number now, as you're stealing her from me. But my mom is the most chill. Kind of relaxed, like she does not care. She's like, whatever. She's like this hippie, where she's just so chill about everything. Versus her mom, my wife's mom, is very much. If her mom was my mom, they would have fought. If that makes sense, so she is kind of the typical this kind of mom in this story.
Yeah,
but
sure.
It's my wife's mom instead, so it actually ends up being okay in our situation.
Yeah, it works out fine.
If for some reason it's not as it hasn't added too much conflict, but.
Well, I guess it depends. Again, I think it's like why they're like that. Like there are moms who are just like very loving and very like the matriarch, you know, so they'll be like, they'll want to be heavily involved and they'll do. So.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
But that's exactly. And that's why it's, you can, even when something annoys you or it's frustrating, if you can see that it is genuinely out of love,
right,
you can forgive it. You can, you can be like, grit your teeth and be like, okay, I hate every aspect of this, but I can see why you're doing it. Then it's forgivable. You're absolutely right. There is a huge difference there.
Yeah. Cause like that stems from not the same thing as like, internalized misogyny. I want to control the son because I have a emotional relationship with him. I hope. That's what I mean. But I'm so intertwined with him that I cannot separate from him. I don't want him to be happy with someone else. I need him. So I'm going to sabotage his relationships. I am going to raise him to feel entitled. I am going to raise him to think he's the most important. I'm going to take my internalized misogyny. I'm going to like foster that within him So he will then be a raging misogynist because mommy has told him he's the most important boy in the world. So then when he's partnered, the partner, if she ever says anything like, hey, I have needs or like I am important also, not only will he think she's wrong, but I will have her his back that he is correct and she is wrong. And that is like a very foul thing to do. And that's why I think it feels – that's why it's different.
Yeah, my mom's very good at if I you know, I still I have a very good communication with my mom. I'll talk to her about stuff, and she's very good at being like, "Well, let's think of this other perspective." I'm like, "Yeah, you're right. Okay,
that's my mom.
I'm sorry. I'll go say I'm sorry, even if it's little things, like other even very small things." Of like, "Okay,
yeah,
you're right. Damn it, you're right." Damn it. But you need a person that can be honest with you because it's whenever something bad happens, whenever you get in a conflict of some sort, you're going to get defensive immediately. Yes. We see this on social media all the time. My first reaction when someone comes after me is internally, I'm like, no, I'm a good person.
I'm a good guy.
Why are you coming after me? But then you have to if you sit with it and actually like reflect on where that's coming from and why it's being said to you, it's not. As nearly as there's no reason to get defensive about it. It's like if you can listen to what's being happening.
I think it's like a parent who may go against you for the sake of what's right for you versus a parent who's going to side with you to foster dependence. So it's like a lot of times good parenting, even now I'm realizing, is not agreeing with you. You know, it's not giving you what you want. Sometimes it is being the voice of reason and opening to other perspectives and doing things that actively make your child the worst partner is not it. It's not it.
Yeah.
And we see that. We see that with those moms is that they'll make the child happier, but in the long run, they'll sabotage. And so like, yeah, my mom, I hate it. I know my mom's going to side with my wife. Because my wife is the more reasonable one. She's, you know, if someone's going off, it's me. So I'm like, oh, here we go. I'm like, Mom, here's what happened. And she's like very tactfully like, well, here's where you're wrong. here's where I think we could think about her side of the thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I don't even want to call her now because I know I'm wrong. Like, you know, because I'm very emotional. Obviously, calling her and I'm like, I want you to be on my side. And if I'm right, she'll be on my side. You know, she's very good at like, here's where I think you, she trained to be a therapist. So she's like, yeah, she's a nurse, but she also trained to be a therapist. So she's like, here's where you're right. And here where both are true. Here's where both points are valid. And I'm just like, just agree with me.
You have to preface the conversation. Mom, I'm going to tell you something. I need you to tell me I'm right, even if you disagree with me. I need you to be mommy and not therapist mommy right now.
She won't. She's like, that's not good for you. And I'm like, no. That is true. I need to rant about something. I don't need input. Don't tell me I'm wrong.
That was a big, honestly, a huge revelation. I remember reading it somewhere saying something with my wife and I, because we're both solvers. We always want to solve the problem. Mm-hmm. And that led to we didn't realize it, you know, as a younger, newer married couple.
Sure.
Why is it causing conflict when we're trying to solve the other person? I'm trying to help you. It's like, no, I don't need your help right now. I just need to be angry about something. And I want you to be angry with me. I want you to feel as frustrated as I am right now.
That's like the, do you want like support or solutions? Which are you looking for right now? You know what? I will give myself, I'm a great ride or dier. Whatever the story my wife is, I'm like, she said, what happened? Yeah. I have no idea what she's talking about.
I'm so chill. I don't get angry that much. So my wife is why you and her get along. But she's very much the everything is very, very big.
Yeah.
And I've learned, I'm like, you know, at the end of the day, like who is being helped by me? But well, did you think about,
well, listen,
that
here,
this person, maybe the situation, you know, just to play devil's advocate, no one's ever solved in that. No one's ever helped in a situation. Mm-mm. No, that's, there's nothing good is going to come. It, aside from like a very specific one in a million situation where usually you just need to be like, yeah, screw that person that got mad at you for doing that bad thing to them.
It's also like, I think it's timing because in the moment, no, it does not help to be like when someone's fired up, like solutions don't work out. But then, you know, 30 minutes later, you could come back. Yeah. That's how we do. We like circle back. It's like, okay, that thing you told me, are you ready to maybe hear where we could improve how we treat people? They're like, if I'm fired up, she's like, okay, well, why don't you get some sleep? She just to me today because I didn't sleep last night and I was fired up about something this morning. And she goes, why don't you like take a quick rest and then see how you feel? Yeah. Then I always feel better. So it's like sometimes you do just need a minute. But yeah, just knowing what your partner is looking for at all, you know, just kind of the opposite of what this guy did.
Back to what we're this whole episode's about. Yeah, there was no consideration of that. No. So we agree. He is the asshole.
He is the asshole. Agreed. He is stamped. The asshole. I would have choice words for everybody involved in that. The mom and the son. I'd be like, what's your relationship like? Tell me about it.
Oh, God. To even interact with those people. Yeah, that's she did the right thing though. I didn't read any follow ups. I hope she actually did go through with the divorce and
he had the papers.
Cause that is a rough situation. I guess it's rare that you're rooting for a family to break up, but in this situation I do feel like she and the child. And this is, you know what, I will say, coming from a house, my mom left my father when she was pregnant with me. I've mentioned before that my father's a very toxic individual.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of times where that separation has made all the difference in my life. Yeah. I can see it with my older brother, who was around him a lot more and had a much better relationship with him, how much harder he had to work to break away from that toxicity and how much it's influenced a lot of his own life choices versus me. I just got my happy mommy. Even though we struggled, it was still she was the major influence in my life, and it's amazing how much that absence can benefit. It's not always this horrible, terrible thing in specific situations.
There's like a lot of discourse online with women who have left toxic partners when they have kids or they're pregnant or whatever, and it's like I would rather be like poorer and alone and feel safe than be in a more comfortable situation with somebody who does not support me. Like, it is actually, there are women who, when they are by themselves, feel like they do less work than when they were with their partner, which is crazy.
Right.
But so often the case.
There was a study that showed that working or single mothers do less work, housework, than married moms. Which is wild. It's not surprising based on the stuff that we see.
Well, especially if the guy is not doing any housework, then he's bringing in additional laundry, additional dishes, you know, all that stuff. And a lot of times too, the moms who have been momming all day and like being that support person for the children or the child, then also are emotional regulators for the dad, which is so tiring, and are not getting anything back. So just like removing the extra work of that other person, along with the extra space in their own heads of not dealing with all of their emotions and however they're being treated, I can see how that would be like a relief. Like, this is less work. I have to combat less every day. And hopefully that's the case for this woman. Hopefully she gets away. I don't have faith in him. I don't have faith in the mother.
I think this she's in for quite a ride over the next lifetime. And that's unfortunate.
I don't know. I think she seems like a badass. She decked her and then she said, you're a divorce papers.
You're absolutely right. I mean, to be perfectly honest, you're right.
I'm proud. I think she's going to be all right.
That's actually, what a role model right there. Like, that's a story. Like, oh my God, that'd be amazing. Like, what happened? Well, let me explain. Let me show you your father's words.
Let me bring up the archives of Reddit.
Yeah.
Here's the telling. It's bullshit, obviously. I'll tell you the real thing that happened. Here's what he said. Can you imagine
the divorce proceedings with them just reading this?
But I mean, that's why I think I called her a queen at that point. But I'm like, that's amazing. Like, she knew in that moment, like, I have to get away from this dude. And that is the other side of it. Cause I think a lot of dudes will do that. They'll be like, I need space. I need time. I need this. And it is the woman who realizes in that time and in that space, like, oh, I don't like this. I don't want this. And then they're shocked. It's like space goes both ways. If you're being shitty, like that gives people space to think.
My life was way better in these 8 days.
These are the best 8 days of my life.
Well, because that's the thing too. It's like a lot of people will stay in this marriage because parenting is hard.
Oh my God.
Even in the best of circumstances, parenting is hard. So you'll stay because the idea is that, it must be twice as hard if I was alone. If it's this hard right now, I better stay because I can't imagine a scenario where that would be easier. And then you leave and you find all these studies that show, it's actually much easier when you're when you leave an unsupportive spouse who you were also mothering. Obviously, not every situation is going to be there. Yeah.
If your absence is more of a benefit to someone's life than your presence, you need to think about how you treat people and how you partner. I mean, it doesn't sound like he was being a partner at all. It sounds like he was being a person. Just a person there, just eating food, cooking not enough food for a party.
And it's honestly great advice for, I hope young people think about that. Like, what are you adding to this person's life? It shouldn't just be, what are they adding to yours? What are you offering them? And that shouldn't be the only thing you hear them talking about, I'm offering her a paycheck. That's... I'm offering her this perfect body, these muscles, right? I'm offering her my car. It's always these things that have nothing to do with the stuff that actually matters as your relationship progresses.
And it's stuff they can do themselves, like aside from the muscles.
Right.
They could, I saw, I don't remember what the page was because it was like a repost of a conversation. I think it was like alpha men and alpha women. I don't know. We could talk about alphas all day, but basically the guy was like, they were talking about why men don't like when women bring their own financial stability to the table. And this guy was like, we don't like that because once you're financially stable, you're B words. And of course, the entire audience started screaming. Uproar. And this woman was like, no, you don't like that because once we bring finances to the table, we say, what else do you have? Because we've got it. So what do you bring besides that? And they don't have anything and they don't like that. And I think that's true, especially if like somebody grew up in a misogynist household, like underneath kind of the idea of what patriarchy is in general, is that they think, all I bring as a man, I bring the money, I make the money. And we live in a society where, I mean, it's very rare that the mother doesn't have to work in some way. It's very rare. One income households are more and more rare. So now women are having to work, even if he's working, in hetero couples. And it's like, yeah, that's not it. That's not enough. That's not enough. You need to be a partner. You are not just like, I think a lot of times toxic men will be like, I hate being seen as just the money. It's like, but what else do you do? Like, what else could you think of?
That's exactly, that's all, like, this is the one thing I'm offering. Right? Why don't you like the rest of me? Because that's all you're offering.
Gold digger.
And that's the worst, it goes back to these contradictions. It's like, they seek out relationships with people who want them for that thing because they know that they will stay because they don't have anything, because they're in a trap. It's that whole, I forgot the exact, but the financial manipulation, right? Where you are dependent on that person. That's a very scary situation to be in. But they're seeking that out, but also at the same time saying that I don't want that. You're a horrible person if that's what you want. But also at the same time saying that that's how you get a woman. Like, so this is, you're taking lessons and doing this thing and then getting mad at women for liking you, for offering that thing. And then they're like, well, if I lose my job, she's going to leave me. Yeah.
Guess you bring nothing to the table. It's literally like, if there's a pants salesman, it was like, pants, pants. And then people have pants, like, screw you for having pants. And then someone comes up like, I need pants. And they're like, ew. How dare you? They give them the pants. They're like, I hate pants on you. How dare you need pants? Like, I have to give you the pants? You're the pants salesman. You said that. Like, what?
What? It seems like all you want is pants from me.
You keep asking me for pants. Why? Is all I am to you a pants salesman? Yeah. That's all you're offering.
Yeah. Like, Well, because there's also a lot of these people that are saying, like, I've seen tons of this advice: don't date unless you're well, like you're well established in your career and you can offer all these things. And it's because, like, first off, it's so classist, right? Because poor people are allowed to date, poor people are allowed to get married, poor people are allowed to have families, right? Yeah. You don't just have to be wealthy. And that was like a weird conflict I had online with some people about
that. Yes, it's very classist.
But also it's just like, it's the whole point of that is what we've been talking about. It's because if you just focus on that, then you don't have to, in their situation, focus on being a caring, emotionally intelligent, loving father, loving mm-hmm. partner that can offer that if you lose your job, she'll want to stay with you to rebuild instead of just moving on to somebody else that can offer what you said is all you had to offer.
I also think that it's... because you see that type of mentality and, like, you know, it's the alphas and the red pillars, like those dudes, you see that type of rhetoric about, like, you wait till your friendship's stable or whatever. But it's often that these are men who aren't getting women, and then they're mm-hmm. putting that as the reason they're not getting women.
Right.
Right. So they'll say, well, I'm not dating because I'm not established. And they make that. Like, they retroactively, instead of, like, I'm not dating, and then hearing, like, oh, well, some women, you know, misogyny says women will only date men who have money. They say, well, I always wasn't going to date because I also mm-hmm. think I need to be established. So it's, like, not even a reality. Like, the men who call women gold diggers rarely have gold. I think Drew said that.
100%. It's like, yeah.
You don't even have to be worried about that, man. Like, my guy, right. You are not in the conversation. Like, you don't need to, you don't need to stress. Like, it's not going to be you.
They're seeking out women who are really bad at math.
Yeah. I don't even think they really think that. I think they, mm-hmm. I think they don't have mm-hmm. women. They claim that's why they don't have women. Then maybe, mm-hmm. maybe some of them act like develop money, like somehow establish themselves. Right. And then when relationships don't work out because they have not learned the skills, like all they focused on is that and they don't know how to be a good partner, then they say, that's why.
Yeah. Or they make videos like, why is everyone cheating on me all the time? This is how to, this is how you can keep tabs to make sure she doesn't cheat on you. It's something that nobody in a healthy relationship has ever thought about. Like, if my wife goes to somewhere, I'm not like, is she meeting up with a man? I got to keep tabs on her.
I've seen you do a video of that where you're like, I think you're getting cheated on.
I think you're getting cheated on a lot. I think there might be a reason for that.
I think it's you. But truly, it's because it's like all of this is stemming from they don't know how to be a good partner. They don't know how to relate to women. They don't care to. I don't want to say they don't know how, because it doesn't stem from lack of knowledge. It's out there. These are the same men where women will be like, here's what we like. And they're like, shut up. You like money only.
Yeah, part of the human condition is like you want the easier answer.
Sure.
Too, and it's much easier to accept, oh, I don't – it is easier for me to say, oh, it's this thing I don't have.
I'm a victim.
Instead of saying, oh, maybe I'm just not a likable human being.
Right. Maybe I don't put forth effort.
That's a much bigger task to change. Like, emotional intelligence is something – it's a lifetime of something to develop. And even then, you'd never master it, right? It's always changing. And you know, being a caring father, a supportive partner of children is mm-hmm. One of the hardest jobs in the world.
Truly.
And that is, it's much easier to say, okay, well, I'm just going to get this money. And if I get rich enough, then I don't have to do anything.
And it's never those dudes talking. It's men on the internet pretending to be rich.
Right.
Because they're like, I just made 40,000 today trading or whatever the hell. I don't know enough to talk about what they talk about. But then they're like, just take my class. It's in my link. And you too. And it's like, okay, if you're making 40,000 a week or a day, why are you hosting classes? It seems like you may not be making what you're saying, right? So it's like these dudes who don't have money telling dudes, other dudes who have less money that making money is the only way to get women. And the only thing women like. So it's all this like everybody who says that is fostering this idea because they make money off of the dudes that like are trying to make money. Like the only way they achieve that is by making other men believe that they need them to achieve that. So it's this like vicious cycle. And it's rarely like, I don't know that I've ever seen an actual well-established successful man say, this is women only like men for this.
Right.
Because usually if they're in that relationship, it's because they want to be. they'll be with women who mutually agreed, I am with you. Like guys, like rich old guys with young women, they are not, I don't think they're under the guise of like, this is love. Like, I think they also know.
They know, they're very aware of what's happening there. Yeah.
It's a mutually agreed upon relationship, which, you know, I prefer my relationships to have love in them, but it's agreed. They're not saying that.
If it's mutual, right? If there's agency in that situation.
Yes, agency. That's a great point.
That's wonderful. Then you do whatever. Even if it's not for me, I can absolutely respect that. I do not know everything, what's right for every single person on this earth, right?
Same.
Right.
God, I don't know what's right for me half the time.
We're not, I know, right?
I'm confused.
We make this. Yeah. So, I mean, but I can know that agency is important, that having your, the ability to leave and to be a part of something by choice is important. And that's what everyone should strive to have as a part of their relationships, even if it's something that's transactional.
Yes. But I think recognizing that the people who say those things aren't talking from experience, like you have to, like, if you're following people that are speaking one way, like make sure they actually are living, like for any advice, if the person talking is not living the experience through which they're speaking to as the voice of, there's a problem. Like half the time they're selling you things. And this, like, there's like mommy, like influencers who will say, I live on a farm and I, you know, I don't have to work. And then you look and they're selling 800 different things. Like a lot of times you are being sold to when you're hearing these ideas. So like, I don't think anybody here listening is falling victim to the Women Only Care About Money campaign. But just when you hear people talking, it's important to understand, like, if someone is – just like the am I the asshole, people are giving you the story through a very skewed perspective. Mm-hmm. And if they're gaining from it, you need to really think about what they're saying and to be able to use your own internal guidance system to be like, okay, this is what they're saying. What did they leave out? And why are they saying it to me? Like, this guy wanted validation. Right. We have to be aware of these things to really understand, like, messages, especially online. Even us.
Yeah. Amazingly, right?
We're saying things from our perspective.
It's true. It's true. And it does feel nice to be validated. You know, there's a boost of serotonin or whatever, dopamine when we get that, oh, a bunch of people liked what I said.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy that I'm not a terrible person.
Right? Yeah. That's true. But I think at least if we're talking negatively about someone, it's because we think they're doing harm to someone, and it's important to point that out versus people who are person sucks.
Yeah, there's a difference. Like the people that say, like, you're just as bad. You're not allowing me to be a bigot, so you're just as much of a bigot. You're a bigot against bigots. Yeah.
Uno reverse.
Yeah, that's how it works. We are not, you know, equal in this regard. We are not I hate when people do
that's
that
the
stuff.
Worst. Like, that's
what's the difference between me hating gay people and you hating me for hating gay people?
Homophobia. Like, that's the difference.
Yeah. It's like, how do you say that out loud and not understand that there's such a clear difference? Like, what, I'm punching all these children. Why, and you hate me for punching children? We're the exact same person. No,
the hate is equal. No,
it's not the same.
No, hate what you're doing and the impact you're having on others. You hate people because you're a bigot or you have internalized something that's a problem and you're taking out on other people.
So you're right. That is a good reminder that the validation we are seeking online is is more so about wanting the world to be a better place for people and not just men. Yeah.
Let's laugh about it and learn. Because I had people sometimes will be like, that's not – like I'll joke about stuff. Like it's not funny. I'm like, oh, I don't think it's funny. I just am laughing through the tears. Like, if I don't laugh, what do 100%. We do?
Yeah. If I'm not laughing on a video, you know it's a real bad – something's wrong.
Emotionally distressed.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, is that – I feel like that's
– I think that was a good first episode.
Nailed it.
I don't know if we did enough pick me and man hating during this, but
I think we got it.
I'm sure our audience will let us know.
Well, thank you to everyone who's listened to our very first episode of Mr. Pick Me and the Man Hater. We will be back Different time.
Same channel. He's going to subscribe. It'll be here.
It'll be here.
Subscribe, enjoy, and hear us go off on tangents about our double standard garbage.
Bye.
Bye.